Can one company deliver on a commitment to every person in Michigan? Count on it. Count on Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan to be there for our members and for everyone across Michigan. Every day, in every zip code, we're committed to our Michigan communities. At free clinics, offering help to those in need. At schools, teaching kids healthier habits. All over Michigan, we're making a difference because this is our home too. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Confidence comes with every card.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Weekly with Wheatley. I'm Brady Beaton. This week, we've got a special guest, guest coach on filling in for Coach Wheatley this week, Coach Ahmed Salah. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here at Woodbridge Pub. Glad to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So, Coach, let's get right into it. We'll go to the game last week, and in that game, you know, early on against Quincy, you had opportunities to you know, make some plays. You know, had the lead at one point. Fourth quarter, it kind of fell apart. Just go over, you know, your thoughts. I know you're more of a linebacker special teams guy, but what you just saw overall in that game.
Overall in that game, I mean, we're getting a lot of glimpses of what we can do. I think it's just a matter of being consistent. I mean, we're showing signs that we could hang with just about anybody. It's a matter of doing it every single time. So, you know, as much mistakes that we made, there were a lot of good things to take out of the game as well. It's just a matter of just giving ourselves a hard look in the mirror, see what we need to improve on, and a point of emphasis that we need to make before we hit the GLIAC.
So, Coach, one thing I'm always curious about from a coach's perspective, when you know your tough start to the non-conference, you mentioned GLIAC's coming up, we'll talk about Tech later in the show, but how do you decide, all right, it's time to make a change in certain things, or hey, we got to give something time and stay the course with others?
Oh, everything we do, try to have a strong conviction in what you do. I don't think one game or mistakes define a player or a coach, whatever it is that we're doing. You know, when it comes to defense, it's a matter of repping technique, repping concepts over and over to the point where it becomes subconscious. You know, and the same thing I tell the players, it's no different than this, right? Growing up, we've all eaten like a bowl of cereal watching TV, right? And when you're watching TV and you're eating the cereal, you're not really thinking about eating the cereal, right? It just becomes natural. And when it gets to that point, that's when we start popping off. And, you know, if you look back at the tape, just from a coaching standpoint, a lot of the success that we had, it came off of plays that we've repped numerous of times to the point where we're not thinking about it, and then we hit what I call the PhD level of football. That's opponent interpretation in a way that allows us to play as fast as possible.
With a defense that, you know, it's played pretty well, especially the rush defense. It's been very solid. Teams have not ran a lot on you. How do you keep guys' heads up? You know, it's complimentary football is the name of the game. Every coach will bring up that cliche. But how do you keep a guy's head up? Like, for example, in the Findlay game where, man, it feels like you're playing your heart out. You're just not getting rewarded. Well, what are those conversations like on the sideline to keep kids from hanging their head?
Top priority, focus on your job. Okay, and the one job that we have in mind collectively as a unit is get the ball back to the offense as fast as humanly possible. That's all that matters. Whether they go three and out, whether they do secure a long drive, it doesn't matter. One thing stays the same is what we control, and that's getting the ball back to them as fast as possible. Understanding how we're going to get blocked, understanding our opponent. So we're really just focused on our opponent, focused on controlling what we can.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Coach Salah as the linebackers coach. First full year as the linebackers coach, what has that been like? I know you've had some really fun players here through the first month of the season that made some big plays, really going back to the first drive of the season against Tiffin with that forced fumble. What have these linebackers been like for you, and how has it been your first full season here at Wayne State?
It always starts off with character and the people. You know, everyone's got a title, like players, coaches, even on campus, professors, all that. At the end of the day, we're just people, right? Mm-hmm. It's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to work with these guys despite all the adversity. And one thing I can tell you, when adversity hits, that's when your true character comes out. So getting to know these guys during the ups and downs, the highs and lows, I mean, they've been an absolute joy to work with, and I'm unbelievably thankful to be here.
You know, I think looking at the stats, your linebackers, they're the guys at the top of the leaderboards and tackles for the team, a lot of the stats. And, you know, that's usually a sign of a good team is they're flying around making tackles. What makes guys like Max or Logan or anyone else that's back there as a backer that has been making plays, been able to do what they've done this season?
High-character individuals that are students of the game. You know, I think my favorite thing about them is that they're so intelligent, they're so hungry to learn. And every day that these guys go to work with the utmost humility, meaning that whenever mistakes are made, they always check the film, hey, coach, what do I got to do to get better? And they try to absorb it as fast as they can. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones lining up between the white lines. So their effort has been so consistent. You know, it's a matter of just constantly repping the things that have to get to the point where they become subconscious, kind of like what I was talking about with that cereal and watching TV example. And obviously as a new coach, new scheme, all that stuff, we're going through those bumps and bruises early on, but I feel like the further that we go, the more that we stick together, knowing the quality of men that we got in our room, at one point or another it's going to pop off.
So you guys had some changes on the defensive side. Obviously you were new, Coach Garland new on the D-line. Coach Antoine Robinson, though, he stayed around, now as the D coordinator. How quickly did it really take for you guys to get all on the same page and get the defense to mesh? Because even in the Tiffin game, the scoreboard didn't say it, but I thought you guys played a decent game that night. And obviously Finley Lacrosse, you guys were bending until, you know, the fourth quarter, the numbers got a little out of hand. But what was it about everything that made you guys click so quickly?
From day one, it was like a match made in heaven, I like to call it, and I joke with them to this day about it. Even though we didn't work with each other in the past, we come from two totally different systems, right? He's more of a two-high guy. I grew up under some single-high guys, right? And when we got together, it wasn't my system's better, your system's better. It's, hey, man, let's combine what we got. Hey, let's build on what you got, and let's see how we can evolve this scheme. Like, this is probably the best thing in the world is that we got guys from different backgrounds, and we found out that we could complement each other. And on top of that, coaching aside, you know, talk about personalities mesh, right? We got the kind of defensive staff where you'll see guys, like, hanging out outside of football. When you got that kind of chemistry, you know, we could challenge each other every single day because we both share a common ground and that we got a growth mindset, right? Hey, let's challenge this idea. Hey, this might be a good idea. I agree with you. I disagree. And disagreements are healthy, you know. But there's always justification. We always talk about it. We approach everything with the utmost humility. I mean, nobody here has an ego, you know. And when you got that, that's when the scheme flourishes. And if you look at some of the results that we get, like in the run game, for example, like we talked about, that's a result of that product. And then that resonates with the players too. They absorb it. They feel it. The vibes are immaculate. And despite all the adversity, I mean, everybody loves each other. We will go to war for each other. You know, the chemistry is there. The foundation is there. It's just a new system. Guys growing in that system, new faces. So slowly but surely, we're coming together, and we're starting to see that on film. Even our interactions in the building, I've never been part of a team with such phenomenal chemistry with guys getting along. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before it's really going to pop off.
So, Coach, I want to ask you a little bit about your background. You know, you've had a wealth of experience already, and at a lot of different levels. I mean, basically any level of football, you've had at least a cup of coffee there to see how it's run. What are some things that are, you know, the same? It doesn't matter if it's a high school or professional level. And what are some things that people might know that are different between each level of football?
Well, first thing that stays the same, ball is ball. It always falls back to hands, eyes, feet, effort, toughness, controlled aggression. Mm-hmm. Schematically, I think the biggest difference, I'd say it comes in the details and the way in which you're getting attacked. Like, you know, in the NFL, everybody has so many gimmicks, and you got, like, a different variety of players. So there's definitely, like, a million ways you could get attacked. So the rules and technique are a little bit different. In college, it's a little bit more concrete. Things that do overlap, at least with X and O's wise, I would say the technical aspect and the way at which you execute a system, right? For example, everybody in the country runs cover three. It's the way at which you run cover three, the rules that you designate for certain players. How far can we go with these guys? And I got to tell you, with the linebacker group, I feel like the sky's the limit. You know, again, it kind of falls back to reps and all that stuff. So I've been absolutely blessed and fortunate, you know, not only to be in the NFL, but grow up around guys that, you know, have been producing consistently some of the top defenses that you see in the NFL right now. You know, like if you look at the 49ers, you watch Fred Warner, we try to emulate all that stuff. You know, those are the guys that have been around. And some of it you could see in the players and the way at which they play, the way they fit the run, you know, the way they tackle, the way they drop in coverage. You know, you look at a guy like Logan McGraw, you look at Max Edwards on film, even Martell. You know, they're patient. You can see they're analyzing. They get to their fits. The question is, can we get him to do it every single time? And that starts with us as coaches and simplifying it and doing things with the utmost conviction. You know, so I got all the confidence in the world that these guys can do it.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. This was just part one. We're going to take a look in a little bit with Michigan Tech and homecoming, but let you take a break. You'll get a chance to get some eats from Woodbridge Pub, a very cozy spot in Detroit with great vibes and even better food. You can come on down to Woodbridge Pub, located in the heart of historic Woodbridge neighborhood, known for its delicious locally sourced menu and craft cocktails. It's the perfect spot for a casual night out or weekend fun. Whether you're relaxing on the patio, enjoying live music, or just catching up with some old friends, Woodbridge Pub is your go-to for a true Detroit experience. Stop by today and taste what makes Woodbridge Pub a local favorite. All right, Coach, appreciate it. We'll bring Max Edwards on here in a minute with Weekly with Wheatley. All right, back here on Weekly with Wheatley. Now I'm joined by Wayne State linebacker Max Edwards. And Max, I want to thank you for coming on. Now, usually the guys that join us here are a little older, been here a while. You're one of the newer guys on campus, so that's where I want to start with. You know, not from Michigan, not from the Midwest. You're an L.A. kid. You came all the way over. I always like to hear about the journey and how you ended up here. Tell me how Max Edwards became a Warrior.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I ended up becoming a Warrior throughout high school. I grew up in L.A. and was born there, and then I ended up moving to Utah, and that's where I played high school. My dad actually knew Coach Wheatley as they recruited my brother, Champion Edwards. And from there, it's all just history. We started the journey to Wayne State.
So how is it playing with older brother, with Champion? You know, you go L.A. to Utah to now Detroit. What was that like, just going to a completely different part of the country? I mean, did you really know anything about Detroit or Wayne State before you got here? And then once you got here, what has that been like, you know, getting assimilated to the city of Detroit?
I didn't really know much about Michigan and Detroit, and especially Wayne State, but being able to come here with my brother has helped a lot. And being here, it's been great. It's been nothing but a dream come true to play college football.
What's been something about maybe the city that's surprised you a bit, that when you talk to people back home, you talk to family, talk to friends, you go, wow, you know, you don't really expect this with Detroit, whether good or bad. I know a lot of people say it's the cold that gets you. What was something that was surprising when you first got here?
Honestly, Detroit has a bad name. Coming here, I was surprised because it's nothing like people make it out to seem.
Yeah, you know, that's something I find with not even people from far away, like where you go from L.A. or Utah, but even in the state of Michigan, you get people from, you know, an hour outside. They go, oh, it's the rap of Detroit, and then they come down to campus, and it's, you know, it's nothing like what people talk about, and a lot of people fall in love with it as soon as they see it. Did you have a similar experience to that?
Yes, sir. Being so close to downtown, it's been great. Honestly, I love Wayne State and wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
All right, well, let's talk about Max Edwards, the player, because, you know, you and your linebackers had a pretty nice start. Martell has played pretty well. Logan's been flying around. What's it been like with this trio making plays here to start the year? Because it seems like one of the three of you has made a big play in every game so far this season. What makes you three so dangerous?
What makes us so dangerous is because how close we are. Honestly, shout out to Martell and Logan, because ever since they got here, they've been just ready to work, and they've been taking me underneath their wing, showing me their experience and helping me evolve in this game.
You know, when you're a young player, sometimes, you know, you get in and there's a little bit of, you know, just question, like, hey, this is a new level. You're not sure about yourself. You seem to play pretty sure of yourself. At what point did were you on the field? Maybe it was in practice that you went, you know what, I belong on this field. I'm just as good as anyone else with a helmet buckled up. When was your kind of like, all right, yeah, I'm good enough to be here and I'm good enough to play really well?
I think it was practice. Honestly, just taking it day by day and stacking bricks and stacking days is when I truly was like, okay, I could do this.
So I got to ask about Coach Salag because, you know, he's a very he is a very big football guy. Like, I don't think there's any other way to describe him. I feel like he eats, drinks, breathes, lives football. What has he been like as a coach for you? Because I'm sure at some times he's probably had to go, all right, let's dial back, just dumping all this knowledge on him, and let's ease them along. What's Coach Salag been like?
Honestly, Coach Salag has been great. Honestly, he's helped me develop as a football player and just in the game of football because he knows the game of football and he understands it, which shows by the way his players perform every game.
So just give us a little insight. What's Coach Salag like? Is he an intense meeting guy? Is he more of a calm meeting guy? Well, what's maybe that positional film review study like with Coach without you know giving too much away?
He's intense, but then he also tries to be funny, but sometimes he's not. But he's a good guy, for sure.
All right. Max, you know, getting ready for this or getting ready for this season, you know, you were around here last year, but you're redshirted. You were playing a couple games, but just got your feet wet. Coming up now, you know, where's one spot that maybe you're excited to play at around the Gliarc or one spot that you played at already this year or last that you're like, ooh, that was pretty cool. That was a fun spot to go and play.
Gotta say Grand Valley. Being there last year as a true freshman, we gotta go back there and go get one.
You know, I always like that. So, Max, I know it's early into your college career, but what are you here studying? What do you want to do whenever you hang up the cleats?
I'm studying exercise science. If football doesn't work out, I want to be a doctor or maybe something along physical therapy.
All right. Well, I know you picked a good spot to go for that. I mean, obviously, Wayne State has great medical programs. So, I mean, yeah, of course, I hope football works out for everyone. But even if it does, at some point, you're going to have to hang up the cleats. So you said doctor physical therapy. Would you want to still work with sports or do you have a specific idea in mind if and when you enter the medical field?
Yes, sir. So I'm actually debating between oncology and staying with football and staying with sports, which is why I'm interested in the physical therapy aspect.
Well, you know, that's great because there's been so many former Wayne State football players that have gone into that. I've had former teammates that, you know, have gone on to PA school or become doctors or things like that. Are there any teammates, whether I guess you can go both ways in football or with your major, that have helped you out? Because going into, you know, med school can be kind of daunting. It's not an easy task. That's why not a lot of people do it. Has anyone helped you on either side, whether football or in school?
Yes, sir. Quincy Salter is honestly, he's a great role model, 4.0 kid, and he's going into the same major, same medical field, and he's been a great help.
So I do want to ask about Quincy because obviously, unfortunately, took a pretty bad injury in week one. What for people at home that have never really experienced that, what's that like on the sideline seeing, you know, you had three captains. He was one of them. And basically you blinked and he's done for the year. What was that like, you know, having a leader go down, but knowing that, hey, we got to go refocus and play this game. And how has he been, you know, since then? I know, obviously, a captain, he still want to be around and lead. What was that whole experience like?
It sucks. You never want to see that, especially from a teammate. And honestly, him being gone, it just gives us something to, like, to fight for. Mm-hmm. Like, we want to go do this for Quincy. We want to be better for Quincy because of the role model he was for us.
All right, so I know homecoming's coming up, but you had a long road trip to Wisconsin. You're going to have a couple more longer ones. Chicago's not too bad, but Marquette's going to be the tough one at the end of the year. Well, what's Max Edwards doing to kill some time on the bus? Because I know it can feel like those minutes take hours to go by when it's 2 a.m. and you're still 3 hours from home. Well, what's Max doing to kill time on the bus?
I usually watch some film, but I'm a big music and sleep guy.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. So I'll just sleep the whole bus ride if I can.
See, I was the same way. You know, you bring a nice pillow, you get your headphones on, you just let your playlist go, and you sleep, and you hope when the stop is you're back at Tom Adams or you're wherever you need to go, whether it's La Crosse, Marquette, Houghton, hoping that you can just sleep that trip away. It's the only way to go about it in my mind.
Yes, sir. I agree.
All right, Max. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I hope you enjoy everything here at Woodbridge Pub. And you know what? Let's see you fly around. Keep making plays against Michigan Tech for homecoming. Should be a big crowd. Should be a fun atmosphere.
Yes, sir.
All right, Max. Thanks so much. We'll have Coach Salag back in just a minute here on Weekly with Wheatley. All right, Coach Ametzala joins us once again here on Weekly with Wheatley. Coach, let's you get the honor of looking forward to homecoming in Michigan Tech. I know you are very familiar with Michigan Tech. You have a lot of Uper roots up there. So this Tech team has gotten off to a pretty nice start. I know they stumbled last time out against Upper Iowa, but this is a Tech team that you guys are going to have to buckle your chin straps. They're going to be a pretty darn physical Husky team ready to come down and steal a homecoming win.
You know what? Much respect to them, their coaching staff. Their tradition and culture within the program is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, if you look at their coaching staff, most of those guys are Michigan Tech guys. Even their special teams coordinator, last I checked, that's one of the best rushers in program history. You know, and the head coach, he's a Michigan Tech guy as well. So they know how to instill the pride, the tradition, the culture. They know everything about the program inside out. So it's going to be definitely an exciting challenge.
So I'm guessing Tech hasn't changed a lot from when I played in the last handful of years I've been doing the broadcast for the game. It's going to be a team of a bunch of big, strong guys that are going to beat you up and try to wear you down to a pulp. They're going to be fundamentally sound. They're not going to beat themselves. And you're going to have it's going to be basically a trench warfare for 60 minutes. Is that basically what we're going to see on Saturday?
I think that's something we should see every Saturday. You know, football in its purest form, it's a game of I'm tougher than you, I'm stronger than you, I'm faster than you, I'm mentally stronger than you. So, you know, you got to be clicking on all cylinders when you play a team like this because they definitely showcase it on film. And knowing of their coaches, there's no doubt those values are going to be instilled in them. And knowing the quality of our staff, knowing the quality of character in our team, there's no doubt in my mind that we're ready to put up a fight.
So from the defensive point of view, how important is it for guys like Max Edwards, Martell Williams to be very disciplined? Because, you know, Tech is going to be a team that they're going to look for a small opening. It might be 2-yard gain, 4-yard gain, but then they're going to try to hit the big one by getting someone slightly out of the gap. How important is that, and how do you get your guys ready? I might go back to the cereal analogy, but how do you get your guys ready for a team like Tech with a lot of eye candy and looking for one small mistake?
You know what? I'll put it like this. It kind of falls back on our foundation of football IQ. You know, we got three levels in our linebacker room and really the whole defense. You know, football 101, I call it the bachelor's degree level of football. These are the guys that understand the general concept, right? Like your cover three, cover four. Then we get to 301. I call that the master's degree level. These are the guys that understand the technique within the coverage, right? So, like, if I told Max, hey, you're a flat defender in cover three, he'll be able to relay it, call, alignment, key, execution. And then you got the PhD level. This is where we have to absolutely dominate against a team like Michigan Tech. It's opponent interpretation. So I know the concept in 101. I understand my technique as to how to execute it based on how I'm getting attacked. And then 501 is understanding my opponent. Why are they blocking me like this? If this guy tries blocking down or this lineman pulls, what does that tell me about my assignment? What does that tell me about who's blocking me? What technique do I want to apply when this guy's blocking down on me? Like, there's just a lot of, like, specific details that go into it. And what Michigan Tech is showing on film, how they're just attacking every which way possible. And you look at number 15, right? Alex Bueno, I believe his name is, the quarterback. He will tuck in and run just as much as the running back. So we got to just make sure that we are absolutely dominating that PhD level that I'm talking about on both sides of the football. So it is everything.
Well, you mentioned both sides. How important is special teams? I mean, I know overall in general it's going to be important. You look at a chart starting at the 35 compared to the 20. It is a huge difference in expected result and average points per possession, things like that. But especially against a disciplined team like Tech, how much is just I guess, not making a mistake on special teams? Because sometimes just, you know, catching the ball and not taking a penalty can be a win on special teams.
In my eyes, I think special teams is the fastest momentum shifter. You know, some people say it's a quarter of the game. I think it's all quarters of the game. And, you know, it could set the tone. It is the ultimate tone setter for the offense and the defense. And in a game like this, without a doubt, special teams plays a very strong role in momentum, making sure that we flip the field. You know, if these guys want to run the ball ground and pound, right, we got to make sure that we put them as far back as possible. We got to make sure our coverage is on point. We're applying phenomenal technique, you know, not just one guy, two guys, but all across the board, which, you know, I think this week of practice we did a really good job of cleaning up. The next step is helping our offense as much as possible, you know, give them as much or rather less field position. You know, try to gain as much ground as possible to alleviate the quarterback in the pass game, the run game, all different factors. So, yeah, it's definitely a big portion of the game.
All right, so it's homecoming for Wayne State this weekend, and I know all the great athletic staff we have out here watching, they love that part. Homecoming's great for the festivities, but I always feel like from a coach's perspective, homecoming, yeah, that's great, but it feels like it's a lot of distractions, other things going on. From your side, I mean, obviously for the fans, it's awesome for alumni to come back and see the team. But from your perspective, homecoming, is it something that helps get the kids motivated? Is it something that can be a distraction? Or is it just something that's kind of on the side that never really plays a factor?
Even better. I think it's something to embrace. You know, when it comes down to homecoming, you're talking about the whole university, everybody that's involved in everything that we do. You think about our phenomenal administration. Everybody in academics, everybody that pours into the program, the players, the coaches, support staff, everybody off campus. Homecoming is an opportunity to reciprocate everything that everyone's poured into us. So I don't look at it as a distraction. I know none of our coaches do. None of the players do. We look at it as an opportunity to give back. So I think it's an extra bit of motivation to attack every meeting, attack every practice, attack every rep, drill, rehab, everything that we do. At our greatest level, not just for us, but for the people around us.
And it does feel like a time where you'll see if a former player is going to come back to a game, it's usually the homecoming game that gets circled. Like, hey, we've got this one, and you got a great challenge with a strong Michigan Tech team. So I know you guys are excited for that one. I did have to ask you because, you know, Max made a comment. He said in the meetings, like, you said you can be intense, but you try to drop a little humor in there as well. He said they don't really get it. He said the dad jokes sometimes go over their head. You got to give us a little bit of an insight to what some of those are in the meetings and what that whole experience is like.
You know what? When it comes to the meetings, I try to have organization and structure. You know, we got things that we call make notes where we're making notes of corrections. And it's not that we're critiquing like a player, like an individual. I always make it like clear, transparent, upfront with these guys. Our job as coaches is to constantly critique, mm-hmm. you know, and I always challenge them to approach with humility, look in the mirror, what do we got to improve on? I try to have a clear, organized structure. So when we look at it as a staff collectively, I'll be following along with Coach Robinson and the other coaches, and we look at like the specific details of what this player missed, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I try to look at good plays as well, because in my mind as a teacher, you know, and I'll credit my mother for this because she was a teacher for many years. Everybody falls for the habit of constantly critiquing mistakes. I try to have what we call premium plays, right? It's a premium brand of football. It's when a player does something right and it's say, hey guys, here's how it's supposed to look. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the best way to teach us. So it's not just like the negatives of like incorrect plays, but also the premium plays. And whenever I find a window, like, just try to make it relatable, more personable, because I don't want it to be football 24/7. Yeah, I'll throw in some of my dad jokes. You know, some guys will laugh. Some guys are just, you know, whatever. But at least they understand the intent. I think it's just a sign I'm getting a little old, but they know at the end of the day I love them to death, you know, not just as players but as people too.
And I'm sure you have a lot of the memories, and you can recall this, a lot of the memories you have, it might not be, hey, remember that third down stop I made? It's, hey, remember when coach did this in the meeting room, or remember when this happened? Because you're with them more than anyone else. You see each other more than your families. You see each other more than really anyone else besides your teammates and coaches. So you got to be able to keep it light at times and really have fun with it and find that balance between, yeah, you're there to get work done, but if you're there only to work and never crack some jokes, it's going to make everything feel longer.
Oh, you got on the money. Even on the field when we're practicing, I never want the guys to feel like it's a job. Life lesson, right? Mm-hmm. If you truly love what you do, at one point or another, it will love you back. And at the end of the day, it is football. You know, as much as we get caught up in the stress of executing a specific assignment, learning a play, everyone's fighting for a job, and we're trying to do the best we can to win, at the end of the day, just love it. So, you know, when we go to practice, tell the guys, just celebrate each other's success, man. Every time we make a play, go crazy. Let yourself loose, man. Have some fun. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when it's time to wind up and get the next play, you attack like with the same manner that you did on the last play. And sure enough, what you'll find, the more you're loving it, the more we celebrate each other's success, well, success will breed success. You know, no matter the situation or how much adversity we dealt with, you know, if things don't go right, it automatically turns into bounce back mentality. You know, so that's where, you know, we're trying to build character alongside, build on the success that we have. So just think of like psychological principles that go into it. But at the same time as coaches, all of us have an inner player in ourselves too, you know, so we like to have just as much fun at the same time that we develop the guys.
All right, I do have to ask. I should have asked Max this too, but who's the funniest guy in the linebacking room? And you can't say yourself.
Oh, I definitely can't say myself with the dad jokes, man. But, man, that's a hard one. Honestly, we definitely got some personalities in the room. It's hard to pick. I would probably have to say Logan McGraw just because he's so authentic. You know, he's so himself, and he's such a passionate football player. But, you know, you get a little bit of something from everybody, and when you got that, it creates better camaraderie. And, you know, that's how these guys got such a tight bond, because we got the perfect mix of personalities and people in the room. And when you have that, I mean, every day is a great time. Look, man, we get up very early in the morning.
Yeah.
But truthfully, this is something that you love to wake up to do every single day. I mean, like, as soon as I get up in the morning, you know, my family would see me sometimes. And they're thinking, like, why do you have so much energy? Like, how did you wake up? Did you drink an energy drink or something? I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to my job. I'm going to something right. that I generally love to do, and it's the people, you know. It's not just the players, but the coaches, the administration. I mean, like, everywhere you turn, everybody's cool. I mean, everyone's fun to be around, man, so I'm just incredibly thankful.
Well, Coach, I appreciate that. Again, thank you for coming in to fill in this week. And you know what? I hope we see those linebackers flying around, making plays like they have been all season, and celebrating a homecoming Wayne State victory against a darn good Tech team.
Faith or belief, and I got to tell you right now, every person in our building, without a doubt, has the utmost faith, man, so I'm feeling good.
Well, I love to hear it. Coach, thank you for joining us. Thanks to Max Edwards for joining us. We'll be off next week or on the road, but then in 2 weeks' time, be back home and be back here at Woodbridge Pub for another edition of Weekly with Wheatley.
It's me, your PSCU finance coach. Here at PSCU, we're a team. When you refer a friend to PSCU, they get the best credit union ever. And as a member, you get a sweet cash bonus. It's like telling your buddy about the best spot in the stadium to grab some nachos, and he gives you the first chip. Delicious. Cash referrals. Bank better together with Public Service Credit Union.